Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This ministry exists to provide coaching, resources, and events for pastors and church members. My name is Jared Sparks. Join me as I talk pastoral ministry, applied theology like manhood and womanhood, political theology, and cultural analysis with a little bit of hunting and fishing thrown in. I'm a husband, a father, and a pastor, and I'm here to remind you of the chief pastor and our King, Jesus. Hello and welcome back to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. Hope you guys are doing well today. We're going to be talking about cessationism and egalitarianism and what they have in common. Now, I want to submit this humbly and recognize that within our own church, we have people that are continuationists and are cessationists, but I want to bring an argument to bear that I think is pretty important when it comes to a hermeneutical principle of applying God's word to today. And I think an error that happens by the egalitarians and the cessationist, that's the exact same. And so we're going to look at that, and I might surprise you a bit. There might be some people at the concluding of this episode that might wonder, like, man, I didn't know he landed there on that particular issue. Bear with me. I believe in the sufficiency of Scripture completely and totally, and if we never got any other extra revelation or word from God or prophecy or tongue, we have everything we need for life and godliness right now. We don't need anything else except God's word, and yet, you'll see in just a minute, I think there's more to the story. Let's go ahead and pray and ask for the Lord's help. I'm going to tell you a little bit about vacation and fishing for red snapper, which was great. I want to let you know that there is going to be a newsletter that's going to be going out. Sorry, I've missed a couple months, but they are going to be coming back out. But let's first pray. Father, we just thank you for this time. We ask for blessing upon the next few minutes here. I pray it'd be encouraging and helpful. And in this particular issue, God, I pray that we would be consistent in our understanding of how your word applies in all of life today, right now, just like your word applied in different times in past. And so help us not be inconsistent in our understanding of what you teach, in our understanding of manhood and womanhood, or in our understanding of the work and activity of the Holy Spirit, and in particular, the gifts of the Spirit. So help me to be faithful here. I trust you will. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. Got to go to Gulf Shores, Mississippi. Had a great time last week. That's why there were no episodes that were released. This episode was going to be released last week. I didn't get to record it. And then I was going to release a episode that I had with Steve Mathewson, who is a pastor who's done an extensive amount of writing and does a podcast called Two Guys in a River. He's a co-host with another guy. They do a really great job talking about fly fishing. It's a lot of fun. And I had a good conversation with him. That's going to release later this week. I'm back at it today. Was down in Gulf Shores, though, had a great time, and went with some families from churches, friends of ours that it's great to be in a trip or on a trip or getting together with friends where you can be yourself. It's just fun to be together and have a good time and to laugh and to get along and to enjoy good food and then get to go fishing. Ben McCoy is a good buddy, and he's got a fatherly way about him. He had sent messages to us, hey, you guys want a deep sea fish? Here's what it's going to be. Here's how much it would cost. And we were like, yeah, let's think about it. We're going to do this. And he just went ahead and booked it and made the decision for us and forced our hand. So we all had to go, and we had a great time. So these red snapper were actually a little bit smaller that we caught, but we did catch our limit. We got two each. Got to take home two each. And I happened to be the guy that got the biggest fish. I do want you to know that. And it was about 10, 12 pounds, something like that. But you're pulling from the 70 feet on the bottom of the ocean there, and it's only 70 feet down. But when you're pulling a good sized fish, we ended up being sore. If you've never went deep sea fishing, it's a blast. Go. You'll have a good time. And it was kind of, for me, a once in a lifetime thing. I probably won't do that again, but I'm sure I'm glad I got to do that at least once. It was fun. The kids had a great time, had a good time at the beach and at pools and all that kind of stuff. So now we are back. I hope you get time through the year to take a vacation, even a small vacation. It is so much fun. And I hope you get to do that, because it really is. It's a wonderful thing. Okay. Now, what do cessationists and egalitarians have in common? Okay. And there is an interesting piece here that I think needs to be identified, and there are really bad arguments to biblical positions that I think need to be better. So if you make this argument for your cessationism, then I think you need to do a better job, okay? But first, we're going to look at it in the role of manhood and womanhood within the same chapter. We're not going to leave 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and I'm going to show what egalitarians do with a verse. This is their hermeneutic, okay? And it's a simple way to sidestep clear biblical truth, okay? Here's what we see. Starting in verse 33b, as in all the churches of the saints, the women should keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law also says, if there is anything they desire to learn, let him ask their husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. Now, at this point, this is what egalitarians do. They'll say, that was then, this is now. That was a particular culture, and it had a particular application, but we have a different culture and a different application. So women, therefore, should be respectful or something, but that doesn't necessarily apply. That was then, this is now. And this is what's done. This is the hermeneutic that's applied to basically every specific command given to men and women, and not really to men, but only to women. So if there's a gender-specific command to men, egalitarians will say, see, love your wives sacrificially, okay? They never question the commands to men or the prohibitions to men, but egalitarians will always say, that was then, this is now, with specific gender-specific commands to women. Well, that's just commands to everybody. They'll minimize the command and make it, they'll push men and women together and say, that's a command to mankind, not just to women. But the commands to men, they will allow apply and apply with clarity and with force. But egalitarians will say, that was then, this is now, with these commissions or prohibitions or limitations that are given to women, like this passage. Their simple hermeneutic, their way to get around clear biblical truth is to say, that was then, this is now. All right? I think that is silly and foolish. And people like John MacArthur would say, that is silly and foolish. That's not the way you approach a biblical text. Now, consider the argument for cessationists in the same chapter, 1 Corinthians 14. All right? You get into this talking about prophecy and tongues. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. So tongues are to God, prophecy to people. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. For the one who speaks in a tongue builds himself up, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. So this is a passage, a same chapter as the text we just read about women keeping silent in the churches. Side note here, I don't think that means all silence. I think it's a particular type of silence. That's one way that I would disagree with Zach Garrison, his book, Masculine Christianity, that is a phenomenal book, by the way. And also, by the way, what I just said is a really good way to apply disagreements. If you disagree with somebody on small application points about manhood and womanhood, I'm not talking about egalitarianism and, you know, patriarchy, but if there's small disagreements on your applications, it's not a big deal. Really isn't a big deal, okay? So if you disagree with some of the things I say here today, you know, big whoop, whatever. Zach Garrison's got a phenomenal book, Masculine Christianity, and I disagree with his application points of 1 Corinthians 14. And it's not a big deal, and it doesn't stop me from saying it's a really good book, okay? But this is what happens, so I don't think it's all speech, but it does mean that women should keep silent in the churches. It doesn't mean they shouldn't keep silent in the churches, and they're just free to speak in every way that a man is in church, okay? When you get to the gifts of the Spirit, here's what John MacArthur and so many cessationists do. I'm not saying all cessationists do this, but one of their primary ways to sidestep this passage is the exact same principle that egalitarians use to sidestep gender-specific commands. That was then, this is now. And what ends up happening is they command the very exact opposite of what the text commands. This commands at the end of this chapter, so brothers, earnestly desire to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but all things should be done in a decent and orderly manner. Now they will say, look, everything needs to be done decently and orderly, but my cessationist brothers and sisters that I've learned so much from and that we share in common in the same church and we're friends with and love them, if this is a primary argument for you, then you need to reject this argument because it is not a faithful argument. If you read this text and says, my brothers earnestly desire to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues, and you say, tongues are forbidden and you shouldn't desire to prophesy. What is the difference between that application or that approach to a text and what egalitarians do in verse 34, the women should keep silent in the churches, and they say, no, they shouldn't. They should speak in the churches and they should preach. That's exactly what they should do. There's no restrictions here for women. How is that any different whatsoever? I was hearing a panel on cessationism, and the commission given by the panel, by one of the panel members, was you should not desire the gifts of the Spirit. And yet, we're literally told here, desire the spiritual gifts, pursue love, and then not just the non-sign gifts, the not supernatural gifts, the Ephesians, there's Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and here in 14, and in Ephesians chapter 4 gifts, Romans chapter 12 gifts, you can pursue those sort of service gifts, but not the sign or supernatural gifts. And yet, what is talked about here is the sign gifts. Desire the spiritual gifts. And then you have panels of people that say, don't desire the spiritual gifts. don't pursue the spiritual gifts, and forbid speaking in tongues. When the Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul, says, do not forbid speaking in tongues. And my contention here is that if you are a cessationist that makes that argument, you are in the exact same sort of error. You're in that argument, in the exact same error as the egalitarians who just simply say that was then, this is now. And I think that's a problem. So I am a continuationist, and I believe in the sufficiency of Scripture 100%. We don't have to have any other sort of revelation or knowledge. But when you get into church history, for instance, when you even listen to podcasts, for instance, I was listening to a podcast by from N.D. Wilson, and Nate was talking about a time that he received knowledge about a particular event. And he is a cessationist. I understand that Doug Wilson, who's a hero of mine, is trying to categorize, okay, what is this category of prophecy then when we say there's the New Testament prophecy versus Old Testament prophecy and a difference here when a continuationist makes that argument, then what is the category then? When we say anything that is God speaking, how is it that you don't just put it into the Scriptures? I understand that argument, okay? However, when the cessationist comes along and says, well, there's no knowledge, this is the Scriptures are sufficient, therefore you're never going to have any sort of direct direction from the Holy Spirit that's particular to you and in a particular place and a particular time to a particular person, that you're only going to have what God has revealed in His Word, then I think you have example after example after example in church history of just head scratchers of godly men and women who have received spiritual direction that is unique to them. And it's not in violation of God's word, but it is particular knowledge given by God to His people at a particular person in a particular moment that they need. And you might say, well, what is that category? Well, I think that the Bible says, I know the Bible says that the Scriptures are sufficient, but in that sufficient word, I think what the Scriptures say is that we should at times expect that God is going to give us information that is in accordance with this word and in accordance with His final word, but it also assists us in particular things that we are being called to do by God in a particular moment, where we just know this is what God is calling me to do right now. I understand that the waters can get muddied. I understand that these things can be abused, but just because something can be abused, it doesn't mean it's not right. Hello, we're talking about even in this passage, commands given to men and women. Those things can be wrong, but we don't just say, well, yeah, you can abuse these one way or the other. Therefore, we don't need to run to the conclusions that the text brings us to. No, run to the conclusions that the text brings you to, and then let the chips fall where they may. Want you pray and ask God to help you be faithful in the application of the clear teaching of the word. So my challenge to you, egalitarian, is if you read a passage like verse 34 or even in 1 Timothy 2, it says, I do not permit a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, and you conclude, well, we do permit and we do commission women to teach and exercise authority over a man, then you are in wild rebellion to God's word. The cessationist, if you make that same argument, in that argument, that was then, this is now, you're making the exact same error. If you go to a text, so brothers, early desire to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues, and look up to your congregation and say, tongues are forbidden here, and prophesy doesn't have a place here, prophecy doesn't have a place here, because you don't know how they would actually work in a decent and orderly manner, then friends, that is the same underlying error, hermeneutical error, that egalitarians are making. Now, I want to say that I'm submitting this as humbly as I possibly can, because I understand this might be coming out of left field for people here who might just have assumed all these years, I'm a confessional Baptist. I'm actually going to be doing a series here soon going through the entire London Baptist Confession in the same way that Doctrine and Devotion did several years ago, but I'm going to be doing it a little bit differently. We're going to walk through the entire confession, and we're going to point exception points where here's where I take an exception here, here's where I take an exception there, and but we're going to walk through that entirely. You might say, well, man, how is it that you're confessional and yet you're speaking in this way about the gifts? I don't think this is a sectarian issue. I really don't. In confessional churches, I don't believe this is a sectarian issue. In the same way, I don't believe that the go-to I've always gone to is eschatology. I don't believe eschatology is a sectarian issue either. We can dwell together in unity with our understandings being a little bit different on these things. Okay, I hope this was some good food for thought, and I hope you guys are having a great day. Hope you have a great rest of your day, and thanks for coming back. Thanks again for listening to the Shepherd's Crook podcast. For more information, you can go to theshepherdscrook.co. Please consider leaving a rating or review on iTunes, and if you want to become a member of the Shepherd's Crook, please message me and we'll get you on the list. We hope you have a great rest of your day.